Blog Talk Radio.
Independent news channel. Right now there's a Haitian uprising and Don is going to take over the show, but I want to play a quick segment before I depart. And then I will still be able to join the show in a few minutes. Now we're going to cover some hot spots around the world tonight. There's a re-election going on in Nigeria, and I wanted to bring up some interesting key points in history about Russia between the 1400s and the 1700s. And we're also talking about the Haitian uprising. So let me get to the audio and I'll play that. Just a moment.
Happening in Haiti now. And how this has involved the Haitian government into also kind of taking on the Venezuelan government at the behest of the United States. So let's explore that connection and disconnection as well.
Well, as you know, Mark, most of Latin America, indeed most of the world, Africa and Asia as well, were former colonies. All their wealth was stolen to create the primitive accumulation in Europe and America, mostly North America. And so as Eduardo Galeano showed us very clearly, the open veins of Latin America are what really help grow the empires of the North, which still rule over the South. So Hugo Chavez had the brilliant idea of saying, well, we're blessed with this tremendous amount of oil, the world's largest reserves. We're going to share it with our neighbors, at least in the Caribbean, and provide them the capital so that they can develop and begin to pry themselves out of the grip of Washington and Paris and Ottawa, in particularly in the case of Haiti, and have more South-South collaboration, cooperation, trade, etc. So that's how 17 countries benefited from this Petro-Caribe deal, under which Venezuela would give them cheap oil on great credit terms. In the case of Haiti, as you mentioned, it was 25 years to pay it back at 1% interest. Yet they only had to pay 60% up front, and 40% went into this Petrocaribe fund, which they could use to build roads or schools or hospitals or any kind of social programs. And so really this money, when René Préval was elected and came into power in 2006, that was the first thing he did on the day of his inauguration. He went and sat down with Vicente Rangel, the vice president of Venezuela, and signed the Petrocaribe deal. Again, as Haiti Liberté showed in a series of articles from documents we got from WikiLeaks, the U.S. fought this deal tooth and nail, and it took René Préval and his crew 2 years to, in fact, get the whole deal in place and get the Petrocaribe fund all set up. But essentially, the U.S. was going to punish him for this, and what they did was after the earthquake, they had this election, which they intervened in, put in this ribald singer, a guy called Michel Martelly, who was a crook. People knew he was a crook. His father-in-law was one of Haiti's biggest drug dealers, and a lot of his entourage ended up being involved in all kinds of criminal.
I'm going to stop there. I wanted to say that Haiti hasn't been very stable in the last few years, so I'm just going to read two more short paragraphs, then I'm going to run an errand, and then Don will take the show over for a while. The wave of demonstration against Haiti's president Jovenel Moïse and his government's mishandling of developmental funds this past week has left a seventh protester dead after a week of violent clashes in the Caribbean nation. Haitians took to the streets of capital Port-au-Prince once again on Wednesday to demand the resignation of the country's president, Jovenel Moïse, as tensions continued to mount after a week of demonstrations marked violent clashes with police. According to AFP, a young man died at the crossroads near the presidential palace in Port-au-Prince, and a Haitian journalist was wounded by gunshots during the fire and protest. The former French colony has been mired in a political crisis since February 7th that has at least 7 people dead and everyday life in the largest towns parallels in protests and barricades. Demonstrators who come mostly from poor neighborhoods are demanding Moïse's resignation over graft scandals and failing to tackle widespread poverty. Now, the only thing that I noticed different in this is that I was listening to NPR today, and it was the middle class that was in the streets, too. One person said, I have a good job, but this is enough. I cannot handle it anymore. And if you listen to the video carefully, Hugo Chavez in the early 2000s set up a Petro-Caribbean fund for neighboring South American and Central American neighbors to get the oil at 60% of the price and then get developmental projects. That's the real curtain behind the U.S.'s upheaval. So with that, Don, you're the only one on the line. I'm going to text my other people again. And nobody's on the phone so far, so it's going to be you flying solo until I can get on the road. Good evening, Don.
Hello, Jane. Hello, everybody.
There's nobody but us.
Well, isn't that nice? Just like the old days. Me, you, and John.
Right. And I was listening to one of our old shows last week.
Uh-huh.
So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing excellent. I'm busy with my state legislature, we're in session right now. We're biennial, so it's every 2 years, 120 days. And right now I'm a citizen lobbyist and working on the data collection privacy of our students. And this year, finally, after, well, I've started in 11, so it's been 8 years, finally we got legislators who believe that data collection and the lack of privacy for children is detrimental to all of us. So that's something that's really positive. I got a lot of work to do in the next 2 months, 3 months, but it looks like I may have, in fact, two bills that will go out. So that's great.
Really? That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Not a hard one.
Now, one thing I wanted to mention about the Haitian middle class into this protest is John keeps feeding me these BS things about, you know, I shouldn't say negativity, but there is a cultural war going on in our country right now, too, between the ultra-conservatives and the neoliberals. And with the election on the horizon and three females running, there will be uprisings in our nation, too, according to the middle class. But one thing that people aren't really paying attention to, including the upcoming presidential election in the United States in 2020, is that Trump is trying to orchestrate some major deals with China and North Korea and alter the economic future. And just as Haiti is contingent on the uprising in Venezuela, how do you think that's going to affect our nation in the next 18 months or so?
Not much. We're going to try to get rid of Maduro and Venezuela, and Haiti is on its own. We've already had the Clintons who have gone in and stolen.
Yeah, but Sean Penn did a lot of building up there too. And now that they've been burning through the streets of Port-au-Prince for 9 days, it's not just affecting the poor, it's affecting the middle class people with mid-sized jobs. And they want the president out. Like, they're trying to force him out the same way that Venezuela is trying to force out their incumbent president for that newer guy.
Well, do you blame them? In all essence, since the earthquake, Haiti has gone nowhere. It's gone backwards. Same thing with Puerto Rico. Same thing with a lot of the places in the world, in the northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere, that have had destructive weather. And,
let's make it clear. Haiti, that started out as a French outpost, has never really been very stable. They've been forced into dependency from North American and European countries because those countries created them to be like that. And their contingent international wealth, they're just fighting for themselves right now. But because of the parallel situation in Venezuela, and what the wealth they received from Hugo Chavez in the early 2000s is now dissipated. Right?
Right. But the thing is that you're missing the biggest part of this whole, or you didn't state, the biggest part of this is that it's black. So Haiti has been economists have said, and I don't know if I can believe it because I'm sure some places in the world are worse off, but they say that Haiti for a long, long time has been the poorest country in the world. So there is no need or no
They're actually, they're not in the top five poorest countries. Liberia, there's about three African countries that are poorer than them. Now, I don't have the general data in front of me because I have to run an errand right now in the car. But I know that, yes, they've been exploited for 300 years by European and North American powers. But they've also had, Sean Penn, not just Sean Penn, but a lot of people have taken guardianship with this country. And even Bill Clinton, before the Clinton Foundation got a little corrupt, they did take the Haitians under their wing. I remember there was a president about 10 years back. I think there was a musician leader type person who ran for president. I can't remember exactly what his name was. But he was prominent in the Haitian scene, and they were, it's not like they were major world players, but people were paying attention to them. So because of their geopolitical location, like Puerto Rico, they are subject to a lot of storms and other difficulties.
Well, the thing, the sugar and a couple of other agricultural, their prominence in that those agricultural industries, they haven't been able to generate any capital whatsoever. The sugar that we're getting here in America is dirt cheap. I guess they're saying that their sugar, that their workers are $2 a day.
Don't we get some from Hawaii too?
We get sugar from a lot of places. We get it from Taiwan. We get it from other places in Asia and Africa. But it's so close, also South America, but it's so close in, and those are the South American coastal cities, but it's so close in to America that we're the biggest consumers of sugar, and that's their major agricultural crop. This, they make baseball bats, but we pay so little for those bats. They're the best wood generally in the world, but we pay so little that those people are hardly making any money at all.
I just want to explain something because in 4 minutes I'm going to have to go off the air and you're going to have to run the show, and I technically can't bring anybody else in for 15 minutes. So this is what I have to say. This was the headliner tonight, but it was only one headliner. And Haiti has always been a vulnerable country in the sense that there was French exploitation for 200 years, and then subsequently their resources were exploited, but they were getting it together in the mid-1990s to early 2000s with coordination through other Caribbean networks. But now, because the rest of the world, there seems to be not a lot of cooperative agreements. They're not really in the Latin. There is a Southern Organization of Economic Cooperation. I forget what it's called, but they're not really in that contingency. But they are at risk, and the middle class is fed up too, and they don't want that president there anymore. They want him out. So hopefully they will get what they're looking for. Now, I'm going to beeline to you, Don, because I have to go on mute for a few minutes.
All right, because well, what you just said, that's true. But the thing is that there are a lot of outlier reasons these things happening. The graft and corruption in South America, well, in the world, is huge. And Moise is not... he's subject to the same kinds of principles and behaviors.
Okay, I'll see you in about 10 minutes, okay? Okay, I'll come back on in 10 minutes.
And he's subject to all the same things that all the dictators around the world are. And so we are in a situation with Haiti that, yes, Sean Penn, the Clintons have poured money into it. They have, their books show that they're pouring money into Haiti when, in fact, they're keeping it in their pockets for their own purposes. And that's the problem here. I know Jane is going to actually try to denounce that part of it. But Haitian people are living in the streets. Their only food is pretty much garbage, and they are not in. They're not able to participate in in the political realm because Moise is more or less a dictator. So we've got some problems down in Haiti, and Venezuela is taking the same steps. They are run by corrupt leadership, more or less a dictator. You see right now that they have the dictator at martial law. And so we're in the middle of trying to talk to them with some kind of diplomacy, but we will not do anything that will cause more stress or strife for us. We don't care about them. It's us that we don't want. We've already got enough on our plate here in America. Haiti is something that we don't care about, and that's apparent when only Sean Penn and a couple of people have even given the appearance of trying to help the people there. I don't understand why we can't make Haiti and Puerto Rico right now a real satellite of America. They're yearning for a new kind of development and resort development, you know, wouldn't be bad to build it up as a resort area, bring a lot of, promote it, market it, and bring it into the fold in the world of tourist vision is something that I don't understand why it can't be done. We do it with everybody else, the Virgin Islands, Caribbean, Bermuda. They're all tourists. That's how they generate most of their income. So why not Haiti? It's right there. They're wide open. We can pay very little for land. We have construction workers immediately there, and it's a real income generator. So, you know, we've got some things to think about in terms of how we can generate additional money from new sources. And I think that putting money into Haiti and reclaiming Puerto Rico is viable. Anyway, Haiti is on its own, and there's not much more you can say. We've got 24 Canadian missionaries and hospital people who are stuck. They're trapped right now in the protests that have been essentially going the way that they should have gone a couple of years ago. This is not a new set of protests, but it is getting angrier and stronger. We need to really consider going down and helping the Haitians a lot more than we have. There's no health care. The records are all gone. The nurses are not able to take care of all the people who are ill. And besides the 20 Canadian health care workers, there are about 100 Canadian tourists who are down there stranded. So these folks are really in jeopardy of, if not losing their lives, at least being there for a long, long period of time. And we need to figure out if there's a need to go in for a rescue mission to make sure that these Canadians and some of the, a couple of Americans are being evacuated. I'm not sure what more we can say about Haiti because it's we don't have a real interest, vested interest in it. It's not our fight right now. I would like it to be, but it's not. The only reason Venezuela is our fight that we're in it is because of the oil. And the oil is very, very important in the balance of the world powers with Russia and OPEC and us as being most prominent oil producers in the world. And it would knock the, it is knocking the balance off on the oil that is being produced around the world. We don't buy a lot of Venezuelan oil, but they do import it to different places around the world that need it. So we were in a real precarious spot right now, in between kind of a rock and a hard place, because we are becoming nationalistic in the way that we're looking at the world, and we're closing our doors to everything except for the drug and prostitution, illegal sex trafficking situations. Those situations are now being exacerbated because we are closing our doors on a lot of, and then trade deficits, trade talks. We're closing our doors on a lot of countries around the world. But my interest today for this show, it would be, I would talk about it a little later on, is the taxes here in America. We were supposed to have tax cuts for the tax reform bill presented by the president last year, and those cuts will not be apparent. There's going to be a problem because we have the greater salaries, so the taxes should be less, but we're not actually committed to giving all the people who deserve it the tax credits that they deserve.
Hi, Don. I'm back on the line.
All righty, good.
What are you talking about?
I just changed over to the tax reform. I don't know much more we can talk about Haiti because we've got about 150 to 200 people who are stuck there, and with the violence that's going on, we don't really have an opportunity to do a whole lot. It's going to be up to our leadership to jump in and see if we can help those people, and we're not going to do it. And the only reason that I can see is because they're principally a minority country. Not just a minority country, a black minority country.
Okay, I would like to beeline a minute while continue to talk. I'm going to check on my website in the car if anyone else called in, and I'll be right back with you.
No problem. But just take your time. Do what you have to do because I know it's a very important private thing that you are taking care of. But I just think that Venezuela and Haiti and the like are on hold. We've got some very serious problems with the decision-making on Syria that I would like to traverse also. If we leave Syria, we will leave a vacuum that will pretty much destroy all the people who are living in Syria to the devices of either Iran or Turkey, even Iraq, if they have enough strength, and Israel, if they're so inclined. But I mentioned the tax reform. That's one of my main things, because most everybody is going to get at least $200-$400 less.
John is on the line, Don.
You bet.
John Yoder is on the line now. Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Hello, Don and Jane.
Good evening. We had a little contingency trouble. Don, continue with what you were saying.
Right. Well, this is something that our leaders are going to have to take into account, the fact that they're on that we're leaving them, the rest of the world, in a lurch, and we haven't, we're not, I don't want to say standing up to our responsibilities, but I do want to say that we do have the strength of being the number one country in the world to have to at least look at helping some of these countries with their problems and their financial deficiencies. The financial deficiencies are that we need to probably transfer or reorganize the monies that we're giving to some of these leaders and countries and larger organizations, and be able to give them directly to the people in need, instead of giving them to the organizations or the presidents or whatever around the world who are
okay. John, give John. John might be at work, so give him a chance to talk. We only have 10 minutes left of the segment. Okay, so let him talk.
I will. No problem. John, I've been told by
the boss. How's it going, Don?
You need to talk. It's going fine. I'm right in the middle of my legislative session, and I've got a lot of things here in Nevada that are going to possibly change the way that we are we operate in America.
Oh,
and in the world. And one of the main things is that you saw the UK in the last year has put together a plan for data privacy, where they're going to absolutely make these internet companies not share data like they have been. And that's one of the things that I've been doing. But the show is about Haiti. If you know anything about Haiti, Venezuela, that's our predominant topic right now. But I'd like to go towards the discussion on tax reform and how we're going to get less taxes.
Oh, you know, there's talk. I think one thing that maybe could be tried is a new system. Let's get revolutionary and not just have green deal, but let's have super green. And I think this would be Jane's wet dream. It would probably give you a hard on, but basically everyone shares everything, like everything. I call it communism. And what we would have, smart people like white privilege and Jews, and white Jews and Asians, because of the high IQ thing, they get all these high-tech jobs. So let's give these to the lowest IQ people, minorities, and we'll do it with my people, Mexicans, Native Indians, and blacks. And what we would do is, we would dumb everyone down so we're all equal. No one's above each other. We're all equal. And we would call it dumbocracy. Dumbocracy. And we'd be equal. We'll share everything. And let's open this border thing up. Let's get the people, let's give equality. Now, one thought would be you don't let people have children of different sexes. You would have only same-sex relationships. That would stop the overpopulation, and with the minorities in charge of high tech, like sciences, medicine, defense, all that stuff, they have 60 years to come up with a way to clone or do genetics to continue life. If not, we die out, and the animals and the planet will be saved. It'll get rid of all these problems that we're having. And it's very simple. I mean, I've thought about this. This is the way to go. Just, let's have everything equal? Why have more taxes? We should have 70% tax on everyone until we balance this thing. And we're all poor. There's nothing to hoard. We won't have to want to be. Let's have Haiti come here. Then let's, they won't have anything to, you know, we won't have to worry about them or them worry about us. We'll just share everything.
What's
what
wrong
do you think
with
about that?
What's wrong with sending those destitute to Haiti? We can help
there
have them do construction, rebuild, and that's what I was saying earlier before you got on, is that we need to rebuild these countries, even though we know they're going to be destroyed again, with natural disasters.
They call them when they have our military. We don't need, why spend it on military? Spend it on Haiti and Central America. And
the only thing is, John, is that it's happening already. With the way that our government runs, why do you think that there's that 1%, those legislators who are spending $1 million on elections and they become millionaires? Except for the 1%ers, the 99%ers are already in that system that you were talking about.
There you go. And whatever it takes to get Donald Trump out of office, if you have to lie, make up stories, it doesn't matter. We've already been doing that with the FISAs. We've already been doing that with all the investigation. 2 years, the Senate Bipartisan Committee says no collusion. That's what they've decided this last week, no collusion. So it doesn't matter what the truth is. Just get him out. We don't like him because, you know, at least half the country doesn't like him. And then let's just get, there we go. Just the new program.
No,
don't worry about constitution or rights. We don't need that. We need communism. The UN will take care of it. Let's do the global empire.
No.
The one world system.
I do not want the UN involved in anything. I don't know. Because they're corrupt. The UN, if you look into them, they'd be like FIFA, the soccer body. Everybody would be should be fired and sent to jail because they're just stealing all this money. That's my problem with what the system is doing right now. All of our money is being stolen in one way or another. And
Don, I have
to
interrupt a minute. Do you guys want to do another show in 20 minutes? Because the show is going to cut off in 3 minutes.
Well, John just came on. Are you at work?
Yeah, I'll be off of break in another 10, 15 minutes. So I'm just riding along for the show. But I think Don's got it under control anyway.
I think we should do another show Tuesday or Wednesday, if you guys don't mind, because I just dropped Lauren off and nobody else called in that I could see. If Mike from Singapore is on the line, which I can't see right now, we're going to do another show, you guys, Tuesday night, okay? When John's not working.
That's fine. No problem. Because the one thing that I really wanted to talk about is the tax reform. The general public is only going to get, maybe they're going to have to pay probably about $200, or they won't receive about $200 to $400 less than they would have under the old tax code because of all the cuts in the deductions. And I wanted to see if everybody is good with the fact that even though you're getting more in your annual income, your salary, by a couple dollars, you're going to be getting less in your tax refund. So I wanted to just see if everybody was all right with that. I don't have a problem because more or less I'm retired. So I'm under different auspices than most everybody else. But in terms of the general public, and our youth, they're going to be making more money during the year and less money getting back in refunds. What do you think, John?
Well, I think probably in 2024 that could go down. I think the problem will be Donald Trump is going to get reelected. He's going to get his wall, and he's going to he's going to declassify the FISA, or Bill Barr, William Barr will come in and do it, and that's pretty much going to blow up everyone. You've seen McCabe and Rosenstein and Comey and Mueller. They're all going to start like cannibals. They're going to eat each other up. Mueller, unfortunately, he was supposed to be the star of the parade, and after 2 years, he's not going to be able to deliver. So what they're going to have to do is have the Democratic House investigate Donald Trump for the next two years. So they're basically committing on the Green Deal. If they back out of the Green Deal, then it doesn't look good. If they support the Green Deal, the problem is you're going to lose the auto industry vote, the airline vote, the farmers, like the cattle industry, the gas industry, every industry pretty much. It's not really, if you are in favor of it. I guess the question is, are you with AOC on this, or do you think that you're...
John, I have a question for you. And by the way, you guys, we have 3 minutes left. John, my question for you is, Trump trying to reform the government in the last 2 years and making equitable fair trade deals, in some ways it worked, but in other ways it hindered things, like the Midwest soybean farmers got the raw end of the stick, and they lost some of their customers in Europe and Asia. So how do you defend something like that? Like in his efforts to get more equitable fair trade and his new, supposedly he's striking another deal with China, how do you think that's going to weigh out in the future by trying to have more fair trade?
Well, I think in any of these situations, you've got a stalemate, you've got a face-off, and from what I've seen, he tends to get what he wants in the end. However, there will be casualties in that. You might see the soy industry shrink down. Usually what he does is he'll flip money from somewhere else to cover. I would say that he's going to be okay. I think the problem you're going to run into, well, you'll see what kind of money we save from the military. You'll see what kind of money we save off of the border deal. We spend a lot of money in that stuff. Being overseas, we spend trillions overseas to keep our soldiers there and to keep fighting in these wars and dying. And same thing with our, with the border, all the stuff that we have to deal with the crime. It'll be interesting. I think you'll see a lot of things with the government. You're going to see some people, they may not survive. So, I mean, the cleaning out of Congress. Unless they JFK or get him out of office. I don't think it'll happen until 2024. I think they'll have to come up with a better answer by then. I think because he's going to ride it, he's going to flip the economy numbers and the job numbers. It's a game. They both play it. And he's going to make it look good until he gets reelected, I think.
My question is I think the general population, unless you're a farmer, they're not paid.